Here's Jerry Saltz. He is a former Chicagoan. He's in New York now. He is the art critic for New York Magazine. Just before the show, I asked him what he thought of the Obama portraits.
The portrait of President Obama is the president seated in a very plain wooden chair, and he's surrounded, almost enveloped, almost engulfed by a really rich bower of flowers. It's not a typical portrait at all. Usually you have presidents standing sort of proudly or gazing at their books in a library or holding an important device that is associated with them. This is just Obama looking at us, seated, almost at our level. The flowers around him are kind of interesting. They're African blue lilies, jasmine, chrysanthemums, and these sort of map Obama's journey from Kenyan roots to Hawaii to the official flower of Chicago, the chrysanthemum.
How does he look? What does his face say? I mean, I presume the expression is kind of critical. What do you see there?
He's troubled, human, a sort of rock of Gibraltar. You can feel that strange, mysterious human presence around him, a certain melancholy or a brooding or something reconciling, not just knowing. He's kindled with a kind of fiery curiosity, something that's very inner. But really, you have a picture of an ordinary man in an extraordinary situation. And this actually is the kind of metaphysical metaphor of what Obama was. Just a person, a bottoms-up, lucky, gifted man who found himself on center stage.
Now that you mention it, the face does look a little, there's consternation there, if nothing else. I mean, hopefully he's coming to some resolution to something, but you don't know by that expression. And when I look at portraits of past presidents, I'm looking right now at Reagan, Nixon, Bush, they're smiling, or at least they seem pretty content. Obama's visage is not that, is it?
No, it isn't the happy daddy. It isn't the fixation that we project on these men. This is a man that came into presidency with two wars to deal with and a totally collapsed economy, and not to mention being the first black person ever elected president. And needless to say, he was subjected to, shall we say, scrutiny. But in any event, all of that is somehow captured in this very simple portrait of Obama.
Talk about Michelle Obama. What do you see there? Describe it and then tell us what you see.
The portrait of Michelle Obama couldn't be more different. It's plain. It's austere. It's on a powder blue background, a kind of light peacock blue. And Michelle Obama is rendered in gray tones, almost as if she had been drawn with a pencil. She's in a beautiful black and white Michelle Smith gown, kind of geometric, with just little pastel and passages of color. Mm-hmm. Some people have already attacked that. Well, you're painting Michelle Obama gray. I actually think that's sort of brilliant. It negates the idiotic idea that this is a black person or a white person and says this person is both. That's what gray is, a combination of black and white. She also sits looking at you, but she's elegant, gorgeous, has what President Obama called the hotness genes. Her great, strong guns are just bare for you to see. But you also pick up the kind of jackrabbit quick wit that she has and a certain protectiveness. Both pictures emit a kind of I will not be smoked. Visage.
Yeah, there's a little, don't mess with me because I've got some game in that face. And yet,
yes.
I think that the criticism that I've heard, and frankly, it was my first reaction, is I don't know that this woman is as beautiful as she is. When I think of Michelle Obama, I also think of someone who is strong. And while there's no messing with this lady, I don't know, do you feel it conveys her physical and her inner strength?
Two things. I recognized her instantly. And if you put this painting anywhere, I'd go, hey, you're painting Michelle Obama. And I also think it makes her an everyday queen. An everyday queen, meaning she's one of us. That's what she said at the unveiling, that these paintings would have a real effect on girls and girls of color who would look at these paintings and see people that looked like them rather than only white faces, which is what Western art history has been for 1,000 years. Yeah. There's a huge missing part. And now suddenly you have these two portraits.
You know, my observation about this, too, as you speak and as I look at them, is that while they are both colorful pictures, hers is in a light blue background and, like you said, almost grayed. Obama's, the president's face, is much more colorful. It looks more like a portrait or a photograph, and it's against a bright green. They go together, though. I mean, to me, there's no mistaking the fact that these two people are kindred spirits. Their expressions are somewhat similar. They're both handsome people, that's for sure, even though you might say the portraits themselves are different.
I think that's really good observation. Both of them also are alone. There's really nothing around them. Obama's placed in nature. Michelle Obama is taken and put in a sort of limbo, no place. And that is, again, a metaphor for where they were. They were part of everything and yet always separated out. They're very good portraits, also insofar as you want a portrait that looks like every other presidential portrait? Go ahead, do one. I mean, all of you have looked at portraits like that. You look right past 90% of them because you're not quite sure which white man is being depicted until you get to the last few. And then you're going to come to this painting. The right wing is already attacking it, but they were going to attack it no matter what the painting was.
What is the attack from the right wing on this?
Well, it's been every different direction. Michelle doesn't look like Michelle. Obama is not proud enough. Of course, they would have said he's too prideful had he been painted as a standing sort of, authoritarian figure. And needless to say, they've kind of trolled the painter, Kehinde Wiley, who has made thousands of paintings of black men and women in the guises of ancient gods, myths, biblical stories, saints, kings, Napoleon.
Yeah, right.
And they found one painting from the Old Testament, which is Judith beheading Holofernes. It's an Old Testament story where you have Judith beheading the head of an Assyrian invader. So all Kehinde Wiley did was sort of flip that script, take the same story and make the darker Assyrian be the woman holding the head, and the head is a white person. But of course now the right wing has gone bonkers like they always do, because that's what they do, and say that, you know, this is like a black power, the new Black Panthers are painting this painting. That's good. You know what? Art is for anyone. It's just not for everyone. Taxpayers do not pay for these paintings. You have to raise private funds for every presidential portrait. It might have been fun to have George W. Bush also paint Obama's portrait.
He's not bad, is he, as an artist?
I actually would buy any one of his paintings if I saw them in a yard sale for $50 or something.
Uh-oh.
And I already imagine that Trump's presidential portrait for sure should be a painting of a tweet. I do want to point out something about Amy Sherald, the painter, the young woman who made Michelle's painting.
Mm-hmm.
She is recently discovered. She only emerged, she's about 43. She emerged 2 years ago in a group show in Washington, D.C. Her work, luckily, was selected out of thousands of others. And she had been working as a waitress, living in Baltimore, had a heart transplant in her 30s, and that was going to be it. And then out of nowhere, it's a lot like the Obama story. Michelle Obama is the great-great-granddaughter of slaves. Out of nowhere, the American story happens.
Thank you for your time.
Call anytime. Like I said, I grew up listening to WGN. You are my home station.
Well, welcome back, Jerry. We'll be in touch.
Congratulations on a good job. You're all doing great.
That's Jerry Saltz. He is the art critic for New York Magazine.